This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely Miss Bird on a Bike, Sarah Ann Lucas.
Hello.
Hello. You're right.
Very poshly introduced, thank you.
That's all right. I almost caught the fruit fly as well.
Nice. Why have we got fruit flies?
I've no idea. I think somebody left a banana skin in the bin once. And
is that what happens?
I think.
Do you know, it takes 2 years for them to decompose.
What, banana skins or fruit flies?
Banana skins.
Really?
That's why when you see cyclists throwing them, they go, it's all right, they can decompose. Yeah, it takes 2 years.
Yeah.
So no, don't do that, cyclists. Thanks.
Typical cyclists.
Typical cyclists.
they normally throw banana skins at me as they go past. Have you seen that Facebook thing of the canoeist with a seal that throws an octopus at him?
No.
Have you not seen it?
No.
Oh,
which one throws the octopus?
There's a guy in a kayak, right?
Yeah.
And he's paddling along and a seal breaks the water right next to him and smacks him around the face with an octopus. Seriously, go and look it up. Seriously, it's hilarious.
Do you think he's going there? You go, mankind, for ruining our oceans.
Yeah. Seriously, it is seriously funny.
Oh,
go,
really?
Go and look it up. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, cool. Oh. What else you got, Bird?
Oh, yes. Well, I have a Benenden Hospital open day. So Benenden Hospital will be throwing open its doors to members of the public for its annual open day on Sunday the 19th of May with free health and eye checks. So this visitors can drop in and chat to the hospital's clinical teams about a range of self-pay services such as urology, hip, knee surgery, eye surgery, weight loss surgery and varicose veins. I love the way they finish with and varicose veins. Between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. So their treatments and services include physiotherapy, podiatry, private GP service, imaging and diagnostics and general surgery. Staff will be on hand to talk about career and volunteering opportunities. And there will also be tours of the hospital's three operating theatres with families and children welcome. Hospital Director Jane Abbott said, this is a once a year opportunity for everyone to come along and have a behind the scenes look at our award-winning hospital. So come and meet our team of experts, get advice on our range of self-pay services and have a tour of the hospital plus a free health and eye check. So Benenden Hospital offers a wide range of healthcare consultations, treatments and diagnostic services to Benenden members and their self-pay patients and those with private health insurance. The hospital is situated at Goddard's Green Road, Benenden, near Cranbrook, and parking is free. And you can go onto their website, which is www.benendenhospital.org.uk/open day, or you can email them at hello@benenden.org.uk.
Fantastic. It's really lovely there.
It is.
It's really nice.
I never did anything there when I was a nurse.
Did you not?
Not.
When you say you never did anything, what do you mean? You skulked around the back, skiving?
Out of perspective. I was once a very professional sister, thank you very much.
Oh, no. But you just said you didn't do nothing there.
Not there, I didn't, no.
Are you saying you didn't work there, or when you
That's
worked
correct.
There, you didn't do... See, I thought what you meant was when you worked there, you didn't do nothing.
No, I wasn't there as a nurse.
All right, okay.
No.
Right, you didn't work there.
I was like in the blue, woo, A&E.
All right, okay.
Loved it.
Right.
Can you imagine it coming into me going, in A&E?
You can imagine, Bird, if you arrived at A&E with your leg hanging off, she'd go, put a plaster on it and get out.
Do you know what, Steve and I were only talking about this. He said, I am the worst in the world for caring. I don't even have plasters in my house. Isn't that... There's no point.
You should lick it. It'll be fine.
It'll be okay.
Burn the water. Go on. Off we go.
Seriously.
Seriously.
I've seen worse. Do you say that a lot? I've seen worse.
I just don't engage. Serious.
No, you go...
All of the family just
They go, Mum, my leg's hanging off. I fell off my motorbike. Said, that's your perspective. But for me, it's hanging on,
honestly,
it's fine.
Stephen, he only said to me yesterday morning, he was going, you are the worst in the world for caring.
Yeah.
What he's saying is you don't care.
Yeah, yeah. She's hard.
She's hard.
What she's saying is she's hardened to it. As a former sister in A&E, she's seen everything, yeah?
Yeah.
And people come
and
in with...
just making a fuss.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just, you know, I've seen worse, love. You know, get over it.
of the funniest stories. It's just, but anyway, Bennington Hospital, before we even go down that route, lovely place. I've done a couple of, when I was doing my NASH training, that, I mean, this is years and years ago, we went to a lot of private hospitals, but they've all shut down now, St. Saviour's. I can remember the nurses there, especially when you used to go, and do you remember when they used to have the hospitals that are specifically for the RAF or Army, and you could use it as public.
Yeah.
And the nurse's uniform was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Benenden was a civil service hospital, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
It was.
Yeah.
Have you got it? Casey's caught the fruit fly. Yay!
You can keep that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have a short ceremony dedication shortly. Yeah.
Leave it here.
Leave it there.
I could make some joke about lawyers and but
no,
I won't.
No.
Hold on. We're, you just said St. Saviour's had gone.
It has.
It's gone a long time.
Years ago.
Yeah. Did it really?
Yeah, literally. Must be. Now, isn't it? They're going to do something with it, yes.
But, I would imagine. Are you talking about the one in Hythe?
Yeah.
Blimey.
I mean, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I've got to be.
Easily, yeah.
I've got a really funny story about it.
Go on then.
No, well, I can't tell you on air.
You're talking about really funny stories to do with stuff like that. I had a text yesterday that I just thought was so funny. Mm. So, bearing in mind, right, okay, I'll read you the text and then we'll talk about the fact that, well, I just think it's funny. Please can you call the newborn hearing screening unit to arrange an appointment for your child? This baby's hearing scream appointment needs to be done. Now, Sam is 20 and he's my youngest.
Unless there's something one of your children aren't telling you.
There's a real delay there, isn't there?
Now, listen, the NHS are busy. They are busy. They're trying their hardest. They get round to you eventually.
So I'll let Sam know when I speak to him later that I've got to take him for his newborn hearing test.
That, they are rubbish. They
I mean, I'm not being funny. You've met him. I think he's a little old for that, don't you?
Well, hold on a minute. I think you're being a bit harsh here. Because I actually think, nice to see that we're actually using technology.
Well, there is that. But the poor woman who's meant to have this text.
Other than being completely ineffective. But it's nice that they're starting to engage in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
That's all I'd like to say.
We had an appointment for my stepdaughter, and we got a text saying your appointment's been cancelled because the consultant's going on holiday.
Put that.
Yes, yeah. And then we got a letter that said the same.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, we got a text saying, you've missed your appointment. And do you realise how much this costs us and the NHS because you didn't turn up for your appointment?
I love the emotion that you're putting behind this, and non-emotive.
It's like a Harry Potter howler.
I love it.
Yeah.
It annoys me as well.
Yeah. And then you ring them out and go, you cancelled the appointment. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. That was automated.
Yeah, but it was an automated message. Yeah,
automated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, your son's due his hearing test. And I went, he's 47.
Ah, see, I just feel sorry for the poor person who was meant to get that text. Because this is on my work phone. It's not my private phone. So there's no doctors have got this number. So we don't know.
Who's
going to miss it and get the howl?
You ought to turn up. I've got text.
I'll hold his hand. He's bigger than me, but come on, Sam.
Yeah, this is Sam. He's come here for his development check.
As you can see, he's a little older than newborn now, and the beard probably gives that away. Knowing Sam,
can I just say something? This is very unusual that we're having this much fun in the Business Bunker because we're very professional, and we do have, and they've just put a bit of pressure on us now, Ethel Bray Limited are now listening in. And for the last hour of the show, so thank you for giving me a great reputation business-wise, Ethel Bray. I cannot thank you enough for that. And we're reverberating through their offices.
Yeah. Hello. Welcome.
That must be lovely for them.
Welcome. Yeah.
Hi, Keith. Hi, Kate.
Yeah, and we'll try and behave now. Now that they're listening, we'll try and behave. Yeah. I want to tell you about this. Help us bridge the gap between school and business as business owners, managers. Join us and the Federation of Small Business Kent to inspire the next generation of talent. This is the School 3030 program that I run in conjunction with the Federation of Small Business. Our next event I can't remember where it is. It's in Tunbridge, I think.
Why not?
But we've got two or three events lined up now. So if you want to find out where they are and book your free place on it, kempassistradio.co.uk/3030. Do come along. It's great fun.
It'd be interesting to hear how Mr. Botfield got on with some of the Marsh schools down there. Because he was having the same conversation, wasn't he, about how to bridge that gap between... Why are you grinning?
I'll tell you in a second.
Tell us.
I got connected with on LinkedIn a couple of days ago by the careers head at a school in Maidstone. A really lovely lady. And I emailed her and I said, your school, did it used to be called something else? And she went, yeah, it used to be called XYZ. And I went there. That's the school I went to. I went, can I come and talk to the pupils? And they went, no.
Really?
No, I'm making it up.
Oh.
Is there not a plaque on the wall?
A plaque?
Yeah, to say Paul Andrews schooled here.
A plaque on the wall.
It's just on the wall.
I've got a very funny...
I was here.
Yeah.
That's on the toilet door.
You're mistaking that with graffiti. Yeah.
I actually quite like things like that, because I think you should go back to your school and be a role model for the people who are there.
Yeah, but it looks bad, really, doesn't it?
To who? The school?
Yeah, yeah.
What, how about you?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, inviting me back, having made me leave.
Oh, well, okay. Then yes.
Go and never come back. Oh, can you come back now?
Yes.
I think actually there's an irony though, isn't there?
Because yes.
There's that bit where you were asked to no longer attend. Should we leave it like that? And we know that is true because we've had this discussion before.
Yeah.
And now they want you to come back because you've become successful.
Yeah.
So, there's an irony there.
The problem becomes when they go, so what led you to your success? And you go, getting expelled from this school.
but I do think there is a point to that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
There is that. They were your angel antagonist.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
I knew he looked at me like, what is she talking about then?
He didn't get to the English classes where they did the long words.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't stay that long. Yeah. I was only 14 when I left. Right. What you got?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, yeah, you. Marsh Breakfast Networking. 23rd of May and the 20th of June. It's at the Ship Inn at Dymchurch, and it's between 7:45 and 9:15 in the morning. And then you got Marsh Networking over coffee. So if that's too early for you, 7:45, you can go to the 10 o'clock one, and this is on Wednesday, the 5th of June. And that is at Sinkport Arms, New Romney. Bit of a theme there with pubs. But he says it works, doesn't he? He said it really works having those in those venues.
I've been to quite a few of them and they're really good. They get a lot of traction.
So you can go and book your place at www. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh network.
Oh, I just had an email from Jamie at Benenden Hospital thanking us for reading that out.
How lovely that he listened.
Yeah, absolutely. And he said, you really ought to up your game.
That's not the first time that's been said.
Yeah. My lovely team at the Kent Deaf Children's Society, we have a lady that is raising money for us, and she's going to do a 3,560 feet tall Mount Snowdon walk. It's the tallest peak in Wales and England, and Veronica Laws, who is a local social worker, who actually supports us in the Kent Deaf Children's Society, has set herself the challenge of reaching the top to raise money for Kent Deaf Children. All money raised will go directly towards enriching the lives of deaf children in Kent with days out, fun activities, learning life skills, signing classes and more. We would love to help her reach her target. If you can help in any way, however small, please donate at uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Veronica Laws, L-A-W-S. Please support her.
Nice.
Yeah, we need the money. They cut our funding again.
Right.
Yeah. 1,800 kids we look after, and they cut our funding from 15K to 7K.
Oh.
It's not going to work, is it?
No.
What's not going to work?
The money.
No.
So we're raising our own again.
Okay.
Good. So please support Veronica. UK virginmoneygiving.com, Veronica Laws. Even a pound. That'll do. Thank you. Good.
Nice. My one tip for her would be make sure she wears gloves. It's still cold at the top, even in the summer.
Really?
Freezing.
Veronica, wear gloves.
Good to know.
But you're right, though.
I did it in middle of June a couple of years ago.
And did you?
It was freezing cold.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Was it, when you say it was freezing cold, Casey, was there still frost and snow about or just cold?
There wasn't any frost or snow. Freezing cold, very, very windy. And it felt like my fingers were frostbitten because I'd taken my gloves off, thinking, it's a lovely, nice walk, nice and sunny today. And not when you get close to the top.
Yeah. I've never done Snowdon. I did Sugarloaf Mountain in Abergavenny when I was in the Scouts, and that was bad enough. What?
Just make me laugh that you can recall what you did in the Scouts.
Yeah. It's like my gran. When my gran was in her 90s, she could recall what she had for dinner in 1914, but she couldn't remember what her dog was called last week. Yeah,
yeah, that's yeah. normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I want to tell you about a bit of research that's been done by Girlings, the law firm. Sorry, not Girlings at all. Warner Solicitors, yeah. It's economic uncertainty and skill shortages top the agenda for West Kent businesses. Research by Warners undertaken at the Seven Oaks Business Show reveals attitudes to operating in West Kent. Overwhelmingly, 95% of people would recommend Kent as a place to do business. When it comes to the current challenges facing business, 72% of respondents pinpointed the ongoing economic uncertainty around Brexit and as the biggest issue they're facing, which we all are. I mean, it's not Brexit, it's the uncertainty, isn't it?
Mm.
Most of us aren't even affected by Brexit. And I think 90% of businesses don't do anything outside of their local high street. But it's all the uncertainty that goes around it. Recruiting and retaining employees with the right skills emerged as another big issue, with 85% claiming they can't find either someone or they're finding it very difficult to find someone, which is incredibly true because there are 833,000 unfilled full-time job vacancies right now in the UK. Yet we have the lowest unemployment ever at 3.8%, the highest number of people in employment at 76%, and we've still got nearly a million jobs unfilled. The research also explored business attitudes towards operating specifically in Seven Oaks, with organisation praising the town's geographical positioning, with easy access to London and the rest of the Kent, and a thriving business community and Chamber of Commerce as the key advantages of doing business there. They did highlight that parking and traffic issues were difficult, as were recruiting and retaining the right talent. I have to say, people of Seven Oaks, you have a lot more parking than the rest of us do in Kent. If you think Seven Oaks has got parking issues, try Canterbury or Maidstone. Is all I can suggest. Cool. But thank you for that. Good. What you got, Pat?
Well, I've got, and I can never say their name correct, so I do apologise. Is it Syncor?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was hoping you can help us with a bit of publicity for an event that we have run for the last 3 years. This is Syncor Charity Golf Day. It's arguably the most enjoyable golf day in Kent, and this year it is being held at Tudor Park Hotel in Maidstone. This is the 5th of July. It's a Friday. Last year they raised £25,000 in just one day. Not bad for a local firm. But the money helped purchase a sunshine coach for Bradstow School, who care for disabled and disadvantaged children. And this year they aim to raise the same for Ilford School in Gravesend, who have a 22 wheelchair users as pupils and are in desperate need of a coach with a tail lift. Now, we want you to ask local businesses, so I'm asking you, local businesses, get involved in some capacity, either as a sponsor or to provide donations to their charity auction and raffle. And they'll be more than happy to speak to anyone who is passionate about a cause and feels that they may be able to contribute in some way. So to give you a bit of background about Syncor, they're an M&E contractor and they provide air conditioning, heating, ventilation, plumbing, electrical installations and commercial refrigeration to hospitality, retail and commercial clients throughout the UK. So if you want to find out more, and I always want to hear the story behind the story, if that makes sense. And we said this last time. So Syncor, why do you care? Tell us why you're getting involved with this, because that matters to me, actually. I like to feel a little bit about, okay, so that's brilliant, you're doing this.
Yeah, but why?
But why? Why are you doing it? So Syncor, get hold of us. And if you want to find out more from them, you need to go to www.wibblywobblyway. Did I say that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, that's cool. Syncor.co.uk. Oh, I just went blank for a minute.
No, that's
fine. I'm just thinking, why do they care? I love it. Yeah. I love that question. It's not meant rude.
No, no, absolutely. Why that? Why that? Why now? Why then? Yeah, no, absolutely.
Why you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. Corporate social responsibility.
I just don't want people to tick a box. Mm. It really means a lot
absolutely.
To me.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And I think, I'm going to say it, most people just tick a box. It's like well-being.
Mm.
Just tick a box. Mental health week, just tick a box. Mm. I'm not poking the bear. it's what I see.
Well, you know that I'm heavily involved in trying to find work for people with supported needs and disabilities and stuff like that. It is changing. More people are starting to pay attention to it realistically and not just to tick a box. When we first started, a lot of people came along just to tick a box to say they were there. But now, having been able to get, but I don't mind that. I don't mind them coming along to tick a box as long as they come. Yeah. And once I've got them there, I can blag them into doing things. Yeah. Once I get them there. And what we've found over the 2 or 3 years we've been doing it is that's built up and built up. And we've now got a healthy number of employers who genuinely want to employ people with supported needs and can give them good quality work. So it's,
I think,
good.
That's a good point, actually. Mm. Actually, if it is just a tick box process, it's then for you and I to influence people, to get them to absolutely be inspired to go, oh, okay, now I care. Now I'm engaged.
Yeah, it's like anything, isn't it? You have to get people's attention. I don't care how we get their attention. You know, we can stand naked in the street and wobble about. I really don't care. But once we've got their attention, sorry about that, mind bleach. Once we've got that attention, though, it's then important that we drive that on and make them actually sign up for the right reasons and to want to be involved. And people do want to be involved when you give them the right reasons, I think.
And that's the thing. You've got to tap into the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also minimise the risk for them. You know, the thing about employing people with supported needs is everybody's scared.
I think for even take off the supported needs, just employing somebody is scary.
Yeah, for a small company. Yeah, absolutely is. You're absolutely right, but it's scary. And then when you add to that the potential for a wheelchair or someone with mental health issues, it becomes even scarier.
I've always said it, and I'll say it, and I probably will poke the bear again, but sometimes for me with Jack, we all know my son Jack's autistic. It would be easier if you could see his disability. Yeah. You look at him and think,
why don't you give him a crutch?
I would love to. to be honest with you, it would be really. And we had a big problem at the airport a couple of weeks ago. He went to America for him just to travel anyway. And I take our dog with us, and I say she's a special needs dog. We can't get a special needs dog for him at the minute. So I say, and she really helps. So we go along and da-da, and it helps other people associate when his Tourette's kicks off and he goes into this awful spasm. Mm. And he's on the plane. Can you imagine this? He's on a confined space on a plane, and the guy next to him presses the buzzer and says, could you move me away from this idiot? This is all said in front of him on the plane, because look what he's doing, and Jack's having an episode of his Tourette's.
Mm.
He doesn't say anything verbal. By the way, we all think Tourette's is swearing and it's really funny. It's, and about 4% of Tourette's is that it's usually involuntary or spasmodic, you know, paralysis.
Yeah.
And so he's in this space, and, you know, no. So it'd be easier for him if it was more visible, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so I'm all for a cause to find out how we can.
Yeah. We're very quick to judge things as well. If you think about planes and people with difficulties on a plane, you just assume they're
scary.
Drunk or whatever. Yeah. We jump to conclusions far too often as well. So it's about awareness too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you know what? As she managed to get here on time, I think
I think you've kept her waiting really quite a long time.
Did you see that?
Today.
Did you see what I did there?
Quietly.
Yeah.
Quietly waiting.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to welcome Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting, who, as always, has brought us a most delightful guest to talk
to. Delightful today.
Delightful guest to talk to.
Delightful. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Nettie, why don't you introduce your guest, and then you can tell us a bit about what you're up to, and then we'll talk to your guest.
Which order do you want that in?
I don't mind.
Okay.
Surprise me.
Well, the only thing I was actually going to talk about was, since I last saw you, I went up to Accountex, which is, if you like, the event for accountants and bookkeepers and
so on.
Okay,
where was that?
It's up at the Excel, and I went up. Yeah, it's a two-day event, and I went up for a day with my colleague Chris.
Mm.
And the interesting thing about that is the technology that's coming down the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, you will just not be able to use such a thing as a spreadsheet or anything like that, I would say, within 5 years to run in a business. You can't do it. The technology, the way it's all starting to join up, the way that we're not just making tax digital from VAT, but softwares that will mean that bookkeeping won't become the role it is now, because a lot of it will scan and it will post and it will automatically go through your systems. And that's without all the other things, you know, automation of payrolls and so on and so forth. And it was just a very interesting way. And it's quite an interesting thing to see the resistance. And I think this is the bit where, and this is not me on a plug for people to pay us more fees. That's not what this is about. But I think what's going to happen is, as technology increases, it will actually make the jobs cheaper in the long run. But I think we're going to see a bit of a spike in costs to do stuff before this stuff settles down and becomes the norm, just like anything that goes along. And I think it's going to be quite interesting what happens.
But
go on.
But it's kind of a bit like Bruce was saying, the fact that you're going to do this and it might actually cost you money, in the long term, it will save you money.
Oh, it'll save your fortune.
And it will increase your productivity. Yeah. And more than that, for very small firms, for micro firms and self-employed people, it will remove a massive amount of headaches behind being self-employed. And I love what you're talking about. I'm a big fan of this as well. One of the things I'm liking that I'm seeing are things like a coconut card and Pure card. There's about five of them on the market now, which are credit, or well, they're debit cards actually, that manage your business for you. So whenever you buy anything, it posts it to your books when you buy it, and it does your books. Now, that's going to change your accountants' view of what you're doing. But of course, there's a transition period where you've got to move from one way of doing it to another, and you've got to manage what you're doing and all the rest of it.
And also learn that fact that it's whatever you can't put in is what's going to go out the other end. So if you put all your expenses in, you're going to show yourself a massive loss because you haven't put your sales in. Now, that might not sound like rocket science, but I know because I've seen it where people say, I've had an email, and the email says that I've got this massive profit, and because they're using one of these apps that they don't understand enough, and it's like, and now I've got this big tax bill. So you haven't put any of your expenses through it. Oh, well, it didn't tell me to. So it's like everything. Exactly. You've got to use it with a bit of caution. But I think there's some massive changes coming. And I think there's, and it's back to the thing again. You know, you're not going to see this headcount increase. So like we're saying now about all these jobs that are unfilled, I think the jobs will change. They'll change considerably.
You're absolutely right. I know a few people that are getting their knickers in a twist over artificial intelligence and stuff like that. And yes, there are lots of moral issues that we need to think about, but one of them is not everybody being unemployed. And that's what everyone's, we're all going to die. You know, this this approach to everything being Armageddon every time something happens has just worn so thin.
When I look back, I mean, I started work a long time ago and worked in banking and in a banking hall in somewhere like Ashford in those days, you'd have had, what, 20 cashiers?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're lucky if they've got a till open these days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just because it's evolved and changed.
I went into my bank to get some foreign exchange a few months ago, and I go, we don't do foreign exchange.
What do you think we are, a bank?
You're a bank. And I went, no, we haven't done foreign exchange for years. Yeah. Really? You're absolutely right.
And it's changing. I think this is going to be probably quite a massive change in the industry and what happens next. And it was quite interesting watching, dare I say it, some of the older generation walking round, just looking bewildered.
Of accountants, you mean?
Seriously, just looking bewildered because where would you start?
It's a fascinating discussion because it follows on where we were talking about with Bruce, because that's a classic of people ignoring changes up front and then getting caught eventually at the other end of the process.
I disagree.
Yeah, go on.
I don't think they're ignoring it. I think they don't want to engage in it because they think it won't happen. Just like social media is never going to happen. I'm not going to go on Facebook. I'm not going to do all this. I'm not going to, because this isn't the future.
Yeah.
They don't believe that what is absolutely we're living in, which is artificial intelligence, or as one of my clients said this morning, artificial insemination. Very funny. but they don't believe that this is the future.
Yeah.
So therefore, I don't need to engage in it. And actually, when it's time to engage, it was too late. So now they're walking around with this, doom, you know, overwhelmment. Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, the resistance is due to the fact that they've not evolved. If you went one stage at a time, you don't even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. If each new thing that comes along, you absorb into what you're doing, you don't notice it as a major change. If as
good
birds,
point, that's so true.
If as Bird says, you go, nah, I'm not doing that, that's never going to work. There comes a point when the changes have accumulated so much that it actually becomes brain bombing to actually go from one to the other.
Yeah. We still know people who won't pay for something online.
Yeah.
Because they still believe, I'm not going to do that, I can't engage with that, I won't do online banking, it's not safe. And there is an element of truth to that, but you have to engage in the future because you will, in a minute, we won't be doing checks. We won't be, you know, there are lots of companies now, I know some companies that won't, we don't take checks anymore. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And I don't think that's unusual anymore. I think that happens, but I think what we're losing is that generation that are coming up, and we've talked about this before, who are actually learning how to do social media and so on at school.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of these sort of jobs will go.
Yeah.
You know, they say IT support will go. It's becoming the mechanic. You know, when we grew up, every village had a garage and a mechanic, and you took your car up when it didn't go. That doesn't happen anymore. No. You're specialised mechanics. Or you take it to a dealer and they plug it in and tell you what's wrong with it.
Yeah, they'll
change.
Funnily enough, I was reading something about that, about telematics and GPS in the automotive industry, and one of the things that they're about to roll out is automatic is remote diagnostics.
Oh, brilliant. So I haven't even got to take it.
So you haven't got to take it anywhere.
Bring it on.
You ring the garage and go, my car's got a little yellow thing. And I go, hold on a minute. No, you got a flat tire.
That is great. Yeah. That is great.
That's all right, because I don't even have to walk around it anymore to work that out.
My car already tells me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To some extent, it's scary, but it shows you the rate of change and the way things are changing. And you're absolutely right, Nettie. It puts a different emphasis on the type of work that you're going to be doing. But there will be work.
Of course there will.
And it changes, and the nature of it changes. And if you don't keep up with what's going on, you get left behind. And that's what you noticed.
Yeah. And it is that bit that if we were sitting here in 50 years' time, sorry, I'm busy that day, but if we were, what we're talking about now is going to be history. It'll be the next bit. It'll be so much more advanced. So talking of advanced, I've brought Casey with me.
Right. So,
did you see what I did there? It was such a
beautiful the segue into that was so professional. Right.
If I came in early enough, we could practice this stuff.
We do.
Oh.
Hours it takes for us to become this as one.
It's amazing. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So I brought Casey with me today. Casey's set out on a whole new adventure as a solicitor and a conveyancer. And I'm going to let her tell you her life story, but I will ask her to leave some of it out. I already know those bits and I don't need to know them again. Is that all right?
So because you were there, Nettie.
That is fine. Let's talk to Casey. Come on. Let's.
I'll leave you. Well, Paul, she's in your hands. Put your phone down. Talk to my friend.
Yeah, sorry. I've got some issues that I was dealing with there. So, Casey,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about your background and what's inspired you to start this new journey, thing. Yeah.
So I've recently, along with a couple of others, started up a new law firm, which is primarily based on doing residential conveyancing in Ashford Town Centre. So that's all very exciting. We've been running now since 25th of April. We were finally signed off. And it's myself and Laurie and Amy. Amy was with me at my last job as well for the last 4 years supporting me. So it's a great help having her there. Basically, I left school at 18, took a job at a local law firm and worked my way up doing residential conveyancing. I've now got, I think I've been doing it for over 16, 17 years.
So
I decided it was time to go off on my own.
I need like this right from the start. Go on.
Yeah, now hold on a second.
Hold on.
Yeah, so you didn't go to university?
No, didn't go to university. So I like her already.
Yeah.
Yep. I was quite fortunate in the first company I worked for offered to support me and pay for my training under the legal executive route, which is an entirely different way of studying.
It's like ILEX.
Yeah, now I think it's called Silex now, so it's changed.
Silex?
Yeah, it's changed a lot since I did it, so I finished that quite a few years ago. And then once I did that, I converted the Silex course by doing the legal practice course, LPC, part-time at university, and that trained me as a solicitor.
Okay, fantastic. So you were doing that anyway as a job, and then you decided how long ago to launch Bucks for the Law?
It's been talked about for the last year, six months. And then, set up. I left my last company at the end of March. Been at Bucksford Law since the beginning of April. I was quite fortunate.
So about 6 weeks?
About 6 weeks, yeah.
So sweet. I like it. If you don't mind, if you do mind, just tell me to mind my own business.
That's all right.
But I'm fascinated by this process, and I think it can be inspiring when people hear about how you did this, and you made reference to it yourself. You were talking about it, thinking about it for quite some time.
Yeah.
At what point, and what was the tipping point that went, sod it, let's do it?
To be honest, I think I wanted complete control. I got fed up with other people.
She's a control freak.
I am a control freak. I got fed up with having to listen to other people telling me how I should be doing my job and how to run things. So I decided it was time.
Right. Okay.
To do it myself and be in complete control, almost.
That's cool. And I get that. I mean, that is a fundamental driver for most people that want to have it's not control freakery per se. It's been in control of your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got one as well.
I've got two.
Oh, have you? Oh, she's winning. We're catching flies here.
2-1.
Yeah. Being in control is a major thing in people's lives. When you feel out of control, that's when you feel stressed and under duress and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And if you work for somebody else in a big organization, quite often you can feel lost in that. So having control over, you know, your destiny is a big thing, although it is hard work, obviously, as well. I'm just interested in that process. Is your new firm just you, or do you have a business partner in it?
I have a couple of business partners. So there's four directors in total.
Right.
There's myself and three others. One of the others is doing her Silex training at the moment and working part-time alongside me. And then the other two are silent directors, partners. And then there's also another colleague, Amy, which is the one that I kind of stole from my last company.
She left before you.
She did leave before.
That's called poaching. We've done that before. We've done that before. Don't you worry.
Left
yeah.
I handed my notices.
Yeah.
Fine. So I was quite lucky in that Amy did a lot of the setup with the company before I came on board. So I was very lucky in that regard. So there's a few of us there.
Okay, so you're very early into this now, and you said you're going to specialise in the property market and conveyancing?
Yeah, property market, that's what I've been spending the last 17 years doing. Hopefully I've got a good enough reputation to carry me forward, to keep bringing the business in. We've had a lot of interest and having discussions with local agents, mortgage advisors, all sorts of people that can kind of help to try and bring more business in and go from there, really.
And I'm assuming, I don't know, because I haven't really thought about it, but I'm assuming that, again, that area of law is an area where there is a technology impetus coming along. As a new firm in that marketplace, have you started off by adapting to that straight away?
In certain respects, so we have a case management system, which when I first started doing law, companies just didn't have case management systems in place. So now we've got that, and there's a whole precedent of letters which have all been uploaded to the system, which we can change and specialise for different matters. But it just means it's there, it's a lot easier. We've also got a tracker matter system which sends text messages and emails out to people involved, so mortgage brokers, estate agents and the clients, explaining where that we are in the chain, so to speak. So once the searches go in hand, they get a text message saying your searches are in hand, they should be back within a week or however long. So it just keeps them updated and that level of communication, whereas before because
that was always a nightmare with lawyers, wasn't it?
And the letter, it was always a letter, wasn't it? You can email them, but you got a letter.
And I remember in the deep and distant past, sitting outside a house with a removal lorry going, you can't go in because the lawyers have gone to lunch and they haven't confirmed the exchange and all that. And you go,
I can't remember the last time I had a lunch break.
Well, trust me, Casey, they used to have them and they used to be long, boozy ones as well.
No, we have emails sent to our personal phones now. So even if we are at lunch, we're capable of checking our emails people know.
Yeah.
But there is that. There is also... obviously, emails we deal with. We've got website, social media, which we can always be contacted on. Mm. We try to keep in touch with our clients on a regular basis.
Yeah. And again, but, you know, without being funny, it is a change in the way that old school law firms used to behave. You're absolutely right. You know, they get a pluck a quill from a duck.
Pretty much.
dip it in some soot and water and write you a letter.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing about technology is the speed up in communication. And that's really where the whole thing has changed, is that you can stay in touch and you can be in touch. And old style excuses like, I was at lunch, so I couldn't do anything, just don't cut the mustard anymore. So I kind of get what you're doing in terms of adapting to the new way of doing things.
I think the interesting thing is Casey's dealt with matters of mine in the past, so I'm talking a little bit from experience here, but I took out a mortgage with a company who recommended their own solicitors. Do you remember that internet company that we don't discuss? And I very quickly said, I'm not using them because I've got, you know, somebody that I know that would do it. But the interesting thing is, I think a lot of those online companies do the things that Katie's talking about. They just do it badly because there's not a customer service element to it, or you go very traditional. And I think what you're trying to do is the middle bit, you know, that local person, but that does it with the technology.
There's always...
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I'm going to tell you why. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to tell me why I make sense?
No. I'm going to tell you why you said it makes sense. And this is where the opportunity is, and where I think Casey and her partners are going to kind of nail it here, is, yes, you can do all kinds of things. You can do online legal forms. Yeah. Of all kinds. Yeah. What most of them do is outsource them to somewhere in Asia where they got a sweatshop of people doing the grunt work. Yeah. But at the end of the day, especially in a complex world that we live in, people want to talk to people. Yeah. Anything you do, my background is technology. I've worked in technology nearly 50 years. Okay. I'm fairly used to technology, but I still hate dealing with technology where there's no human contact so you can ask a daft question. Yeah, because you can't process everything. You can't have a process that comes in. It's why IVR boxes don't work. You know, press one if you've got a headache, press two if you've got an earache, press three. No, I haven't got any of those. I want to talk about something else. Yeah. The fact is that you need human interaction, and you need expert human interaction at some point to alleviate the silly questions as a client that you want to ask. And that's where I believe the future is using the technology as a tool, not as a weapon. And too many people use technology as a weapon and not a tool. Yeah.
The difficulty you have with the technology in law, particularly with the type of some of the online firms Nettie was referring to, is the people that are sending out the paperwork and sending out the emails and everything aren't actually legally trained.
Yeah.
So even if you do phone them, it'll probably take you half an hour to get hold of them by the phone. Yeah. But when you do, they haven't...
They can't help you.
They can't answer questions.
Computers say no.
Basically, and then they have to, even when I phone them as another solicitor, you can't get through to the actual solicitor dealing with it. It's a caseworker who has very little training or knowledge of anything.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
Absolutely.
For me as a solicitor. Not sure how the clients would feel.
And that's entirely it. And that is where people make a fundamental mistake over technology, is they think that technology removes the need to talk to customers, and it doesn't.
No.
In a lot of cases, it actually expedites the need to talk to somebody. But the thing is, talking to an expert means... But using technology means you can get all the fluff out of the way and cut to the nitty gritty of what it is you need to know. That's where for me the future of professional services is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, are you able to shorten the time of conveyancing for a business?
My standard turnaround times are probably 4 to 6 weeks, where most people will be quoting a lot more than that.
Wow.
I think the quickest I've done in turnaround is a day. So we had instructions from a client. it was on the Friday afternoon. It had to complete by Monday because he'd already sold his house, which was due to complete on the Monday, and he was going into rent it. But then all of a sudden on the Friday morning, found a house he loved. It was quite lucky in that it didn't have a mortgage. These agents contacted me because they knew I could turn it around quite quickly. We had the contract papers by 10 o'clock Monday morning, and we'd completed by Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
And that's the quickest.
So is it better for us as a
business?
That's
pretty impressive.
It is. And I don't want to go into all those. I was going to say that that's an extreme, isn't it?
That is an extreme.
So is it better for us as a business to buy or to lease? Or what are you seeing at the minute in that industry of conveyancing?
There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of change, particularly with, I know a lot of firms out there are worried about Brexit at the moment and aren't taking on more conveyancing staff to cope with the volumes because they think it's all going to change and they're worried about Brexit occurring and affecting it. But I'm not sure whether or not it's just Ashford, but the market just doesn't seem to be going away. It's still there.
You're
still getting, I mean, the prices have probably stagnated a bit or even dropped slightly, but there's still those houses being sold because at the end of the day, people still needing to buy and sell and downsize, upsize and all of
and
that.
And to be fair, in Ashford in particular and Mid-Kent in general, we've been building like mad.
You've got Victoria Quarter, you've got all of the other ones by Quinn Estates as well, over by
Chilmington.
Exactly.
There's thousands and thousands and thousands of new houses being built and people are going to buy them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's kind of what we were trying to do, really. It was make houses available to people.
For homes. That's
for homes, for people to live in and other silly things. So,
what about the buy-to-let market?
I haven't seen quite as much in the buy-to-let market, but there's been so many regulation changes.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got stamp duty change a couple of years ago, which made things a lot more difficult. And now you've got, obviously, the Section 21 notices changes going on.
Exactly. The government are trying hard to kill the rental market, aren't they? Let's face it.
I think, for me, the interesting thing is I don't see people selling their stock, though. Mm. And I think that's possibly a tax perspective. You then got capital gains. What's the point? You might as well keep it.
Yeah.
I did have a few clients that sold off pretty much all of their buy-to-let before the regulation changes came in.
It's not loads of them, though. It's more the one or two rather than the extreme. That's interesting, isn't it?
You haven't even got the property developers doing the turnarounds as much either anymore.
The property market is always going to be there. It's not a market that's ever going to go away. We all need to live somewhere, somehow, whether we buy, rent, lease or whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen loads of weird things just recently, which kind of doesn't affect me. I'm just thinking about my kids in terms of, well, my oldest lives in France anyway, but my youngest is at that point where he needs to buy his first home at some point, and he hasn't got a hope in hell of doing that because he's trying to buy in London, and that's just never going to happen. But the fact is, when you look at it, you see a lot of properties now, a lot of new properties, and this surprised me, where people are selling the freehold to a property but not the ground, and I go, what how does that work? And there's a ground rent on a freehold property, and you're thinking, I don't understand that. And somebody was telling me about it the other day, and I just couldn't compute it, so I don't know.
Leasehold houses, which the government are trying to ban at the moment anyway, and they've actually announced a 14-point pledge, I think, in the last couple of days by a lot of landlords and the government, which is mainly to do with the flats, that the landlords are pledging to comply with certain things, which will hopefully help. But the leasehold houses, they're not... I don't think many more of those will be developed and sold.
Crazy, isn't it? How's that? It's just, it's just not right.
So in effect, you own the house, but not the garden.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't own the land that the house is on, and it's just really,
which is fine for flats, but houses.
Yeah, well, flats, you understand that because you've got the whole
loads of people live there. Yeah.
Interesting. So. I just love the fact that you started this business because I love new businesses and I love businesses starting up, and I like it that you kind of bitten the bullet and decided to do it. And I also like the fact that you're only 6 weeks into it. So what do you think is going to be your biggest, we're like minutes away from the end of the show, Casey. So what do you think is going to be your biggest first challenge?
At the moment, the biggest challenge is getting onto lenders panel. So the lenders will have a lot of requirements you have to comply with, ask for a lot of information before they'll even allow you to act for them. So when someone buys a house with a mortgage, you have to act for them. You're supposed to act for the mortgage lender as well. Whereas at the moment, we can't do that. We can do cash purchases, sales, and anything else to do with property. Well, we could act for the people buying the house with the mortgage, but then they'd have to have separate legal representation for the mortgage lender themselves, which obviously increases costs, which means they're less likely to use us anyway, unless we pick up those costs for them. So that's the main challenge at the moment. We're trying our best, but as people know, banks and lenders aren't always easy to deal with. So that's the main issue we've got right now. And then hopefully once that's resolved and we're on a few of the lenders panels, more lenders will allow us on there.
Cool. Well, Casey, thank you so much for that. We are at the very end of the show, I have to say. If people want to find out about Buxford Law, what's the best way to do that?
They can call us on 01233. I should try and find the number, really. We've got a Facebook page, and our inquiries email is inquiries@buxfordlaw.co.uk. We're on LinkedIn and on Twitter as well.
And you've got a website, and there's a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio page, so do check that out.
That should be up and running now.
No, it is. I logged onto it this morning. When I put the link on the other day, it is working. So do check that out. And on the website is all the other contact details that you need. Casey, for the moment, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for
having wish you much success with your business. Nettie, thank you for introducing us Casey. We're at the end of the show. I just need to tell you about a couple of things. Amanda's show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, on Friday. Her co-host is Julie Daniel, and her guests are the team from Release Your Brilliance.
Nice.
Yeah, Ali Harold, Deborah Turner, and Julie Bartlett. So do tune in 11 o'clock on Friday for that. And I'm sure Amanda will tell you again all about the Vexpo event that happened last week, which was an absolutely brilliant event at the Kent Event Centre last week. There were more than 80-odd venues and events there. As I said in the earlier part of the show, I was there all day. I met some really interesting people, but I'm sure Amanda will tell you more about it as well. But we're at the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to the show sponsors this week, the ZC Social Media and the ZC Live 2019 team, to my gorgeous co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike, to our guest, Brian Kidd.
Bruce and Brian.
Brian Kidd was an actor, as was Sam Kidd, but this was Bruce Kidd, of Oasis. Thank you so much for being on the show, and to lovely Annette Bunn of Rift Accounting, and to Casey Ford of Buxford Law. Thank you all so much. We'll be back with another show on the Business Bunker next week. Tune in on Friday for the Bunker Extra Show at 11. See you all soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.